It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Tuesday, October 12th, 2010. I'm John Moe. There's a new kid on the smartphone block. Monday, Microsoft debuted new phones that all run the Windows Phone 7 operating system. I talked to Ina Fried, senior editor at CNET.com. She was on the floor of the announcement event yesterday. Ina, given all the smartphones out there right now, how is this different?
Of the same capabilities in terms of running the kinds of mobile apps and doing the kind of mobile web browsing that you'd expect to see on these kinds of phones. What's a little different is the way that Microsoft approaches organization. They try and organize like activities together. So instead of just having your Facebook app, they bring a lot of the Facebook stuff into the contact. So the same place that you might go to dial a contact, you also go to see where that person is, their latest photos, their latest status updates. Same thing with pictures, music, and video. You know, recognizing that people do activities rather than launch specific apps.
Have you played with any of these phones yourself?
I have. Microsoft had a development version of Windows Phone for developers, and I've been using that as my main phone for the last 3 months.
If you were a regular customer out there, would you buy one over an Android or an iPhone?
You know, it certainly does have a lot going for it. It's very un-Microsoft, and the thing that I like best about it is its design and user interface. And the thing it's missing most is some of the technical features, which when you think of Microsoft, usually it has every feature under the sun, but it's kind of clunky and it crashes. So it's kind of the opposite. I might recommend it more to my un-techie friends and less to my power user friends.
Ina Fried from CNET. Those non-techie friends may be exactly who Microsoft wants. A couple weeks ago, ads were leaked that played up the idea of this being the phone for people who don't want to spend much time on their phones, a self-contained, self-loathing device. And at yesterday's announcement, the phrase glance and go was used. Brian Chen is a staff writer for Wired and author of the forthcoming book Always On. It deals with how smartphones are changing our society.
I think they're playing off this negative stereotype that, you know, multitasking is ruining our brains, and this is the kind of like the phone that you can do something really fast and just get out of it. But, you know, I think even with a Windows Phone 7 device, people are just going to be whipping these things out just as much as, you know, iPhone or Android users or BlackBerry users and texting away while they're at parties or checking Facebook and so on, right? I mean, interface isn't really, you know, a big deal in that regard. There are some ads right now that they're showing about Windows Phone 7, and it's about, they have two characters named Anna and Miles. Have you seen those?
No.
It's like, they are these psychological profiles that are supposed to fit, like, just the general masses. And they're focusing on these two psychological profiles and thinking, you know, what does the everyday man or woman want? And how can we make that more of a concentrated experience versus saying, oh, we're going to have 200,000 apps, because they don't have that yet.
That's Brian Chen. Windows Phone 7s run on T-Mobile or AT&T in the United States, cost about $200, available starting November 8th. We have more on the Windows Phone 7, including some hands-on videos at marketplacetech.org. Other stories we're following online. One thing you won't find on a Windows phone, the ability to cut and paste. Microsoft says you'll be able to do that after an update early next year. Can't do it yet. And the Federal Elections Commission has given Google an exemption for political advertising. Normally, ads need to have a disclaimer saying who paid for the ad, but Google's text ads are only 95 characters long. It was decided that a link to a website that listed who paid for it was enough. Producer Larissa Anderson is here, and you had an important project at work today.
I did, John. I was playing with kitties.
Kitties.
Humane societies in Idaho and Oregon have launched a service where you can play with cats in need of homes over the internet.
So, virtual kitty playtime.
Yeah, it's a program made by A Priori Control, and the idea is that you can control anything with a motor just sitting at home on your computer. And in this case, it's robot toys.
Cat toys.
For kittens, yeah. So you go to Internet Explorer, download an application. You have to wait in line. And then when it's your turn, you get 2 minutes to play with a kitty.
So you tried this, and?
So I tried this, and it was awesome, except for the cat was asleep. So I felt bad moving my little robot toy around. I didn't want to wake him up.
Oh.
But what I did find out was in a few months, you'll be able to do the same thing with a lion. You'll be able, except it won't be a toy, it'll be meat.
Robot internet meat feeding to lions.
The meat will just be on a, you know, a robot arm, and you just wave it around and the lion will come up and eat the meat off your robot arm.
You know, normally when I hear about a lion eating meat off my arm, it's not a good thing. All right, well, that's something to look forward to. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.